So Chinooks, Glyn, how is that hidden? What's that all about?
Well, Wiltshire's a big place, and whilst they may be quite common over your side of the Salisbury Plain, they're not so common over mine. So when I saw them, I got my camera out and took a photo because I thought, yay, Chinooks, it looks great. But then cynical you they're obviously on a joyride from Shrewton, I think.
Yeah, I think they're sort of there must be a landing field outside the village because they're just here constantly. And it's not just Chinooks, it's Merlins, it's wildcats, it's Apaches, it's the whole nine yards. But
Yeah, it was funny because I was having a very, very peaceful walk one evening on Salisbury Plain near the Imber Range. I was the only one up there. It was beautiful. There wasn't any rain, which is a bit of a novelty at the moment. But yeah, the sun was out and the sky was brilliant. The clouds were everywhere and there was rapeseed everywhere. It was just perfect. And then I heard this in the distance. I thought, oh, here they come. It took them about 15 minutes to put in an appearance and they literally flew right over my head. Okay, welcome to another Hidden Wiltshire podcast. We are now up to podcast 11. Gosh, I had to think about that for a second. My name is Glyn Coy, and I take photographs and put them on the internet and talk about them and lots of other things as well. And of course, with me, I have my co-presenter.
Paul Tillett, Sussex boy living in Wiltshire and taking photographs.
Yeah, we're both interlopers, aren't we? We're not
We are, yeah.
Wiltshire born and bred.
Aliens.
But yeah, aliens, illegal aliens. But actually, I think that gives us a bit of a different perspective on the place, maybe. We're a little bit more excited about it, still after all these years.
Yeah. Well, I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else in my life, so it must say something.
Yeah, I'm not quite up to that number of years yet, but not far away. But yeah, so what have you been up to over the last 2 weeks then, Paul?
I've been a bit of a traitor. Last week I did a we met up with some old Sussex friends on the South Downs and did a day's walk, part of it
Well,
along the South Downs Way.
you left Wiltshire.
I left Wiltshire.
Not sure that's allowed.
took the passport. But that's absolutely beautiful. It's actually there's a lot of similarities between the South Downs. I was saying that to our friends when we were walking up on the South Downs Way. We were just above the village of Elsted, which is a terrific pub in Elsted. That's why we walked there. I was saying to my friends, you could easily be in the sort of the Deverells, the Wyly Valley up there. It's quite similar, although the hills they're blooming steep, but. Similar to here, bluebells, orchids. It was beautiful. And then tomorrow I am off for 3 days in Hampshire doing the Test Way in howling gales and pouring rain, it seems.
Oh, I guess you're going to leave Wiltshire again. You're a
Again,
traitor.
yeah. I really need to knuckle down and do some more walks in Wiltshire.
Yeah, come on. You're slacking.
I am. Speaking of which, despite us being sick of bluebells, and I know one or two people are going to get very fed up with this, but I thought one more bluebell would, and I did go to Groveley last week, Groveley Wood, which is hardly hidden because it's a thumping great wood. But and it wasn't just about bluebells; I just fancied a walk up there because I hadn't been for a long time, and it was. As you and I have chatted before, I'd just forgotten how big it was. It's a long time
Yeah,
since I've
it's
been up
huge.
there.
Yeah.
And I mean, there must have been, God, I don't know, a billion bluebells up there because it's such a big place. But there are the little things I was finding up there, so beautiful little sort of glades. I mean, God, it's so peaceful. Bearing in mind, you're not actually that far from the A36 on one side and the A303 on the other. Couldn't hear anything but bird song, and I saw maybe four other people all day, including, as I put on the Facebook group, a lady pushing a pushchair with her three grandchildren in the middle of nowhere, stuck in the mud. which I thought...
Well, I know, all I know is that the last time I went to Gravely Woods is the last time I ever got lost, because I'd forgotten to take a map, and back then I didn't know anything about the Ordnance Survey app on your phone, and I was following my nose, as I often do actually, when I only use the maps as a backup. I normally can follow my nose, but my nose failed me that day. I did get lost in the wood.
Yeah,
the whole day there.
It can be quite confusing. I mean, what I did was just sort of put the map away and just, you know, you see a little, the hint of a path or a trail through the woods, and I would just dive off up the trail, and let's say I got lost, because I think the main tracks, you've got the Roman road through the wood, and then you've got sort of various bridleways and footpaths, and they seem to be laid out on a sort of grid pattern, so it's quite difficult to get too lost, but it's just nice losing yourself, if that makes sense, just blundering around and not really worrying about where you're going. And I mean, you know, walking on bluebells, people say that they never recover, and that I'm sure that's right, but out there it's very difficult not to tread on a few. But as I say, there must have been a billion bluebells out there. It's just staggering.
Yeah, I mean, it's the place where you could wander and get lost without getting truly lost.
Yeah,
it's not that remote, really. You'll always find your way back in the end,
yeah,
given time.
But I found, I put those photographs up, and I one thing I didn't even know it was there. It was this bunker that was right next to the Roman Road, and somebody asked me for directions to it, and she subsequently found it. But I have no idea what the bunker is for. It's in the middle of a forest, but by the Roman Road, and it was it didn't look, I mean, maybe it's Second World War, I don't know. John Gretsch could tell us. But it's like inside, I didn't put a photograph of the inside up, but it's like cast concrete. And it was like a sort of tunnel shape with cast concrete in a sort of tunnel shape inside. So I've got absolutely no idea what that's for. So whether somebody can tell us. And of course, the other thing I found by, I think it was it called Gravely Farm, which is sort of the southern edge of the wood, what I think was a pair of derelict cottages, which was, I don't know, something quite moving about those. And thinking, you know, about the lives spent there, and they were probably farm workers or forestry workers' cottages, yeah, something like that, because they were very small. There was a sort of fence around it, because, you know, I mean, you don't want to be going in there, because it's probably quite hazardous, being derelict as it is. And I guess that's why the fence was up, but the fence was, it all collapsed, and so I didn't have to go over a fence or through a fence. It was, you know, places were just gone. So I just sort of looked in through the open doorway and windows. But it seemed to be a pair of cottages with a sort of chimney up the middle, and literally sort of it would have been one up, one down, I think. But the way that, again, it was just being absorbed by nature was quite appealing to my eye. And of course, I love beech trees. I think, you know, if I had to pick a favourite tree, it would be the beech. And there were some enormous beech trees up there, which were sort of catching the side light as the day went on. And in fact, I was reading, I've just finished reading a book by Robert McFarlane, called The Wild Places, which is a fabulous book. And the final chapter is beechwood. And I hadn't realised until I read this chapter that because of climate change, beech trees in the south of England are in decline. And Rob McFarlane, he's a bit younger than me, I think, he reckons that within his lifetime, beech trees would all but disappeared in the south of England, which is just a horrific thought. When you think how many woods, you know, and our sort of, you know, our knolls and, you know, sort of the beech woods on top of, you know, on hilltops, you know, clumps around Wiltshire.
Beech clumps, yeah.
Beech clumps, you know, how many are dominated by beech trees? And, you know, maybe in your lifetime or mine, they could disappear. Oh, that was just a horrifying thought. And it's not that they'll die out. It's not like elm or ash. It's just that they will move as the isobars move. They will move further north, because they like cooler places. So you'll get beech clumps in the north of England, but you won't get them here. It was a terribly sad thought. Mm. Anyway, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been curtailed a bit by the weather. It's done nothing but rain for the last 2 weeks. Mm. But in between the rain, I've done a few things. I went out for that walk on Salisbury Plain the other night, walking up from Eddington, and it was muddy. Goodness me, the mud is back. But, you know, it's very quick for the water to come back and create the mud because of the wetness up there anyway. But hopefully it'll dry as quickly when we have a few days of good weather.
And this was Barn Bottom, was it, when you went to Barn Bottom?
That was on another day. I did, I think it was last weekend, I drove up actually onto the plain, up onto Tin Head Hill, and parked up. And I basically went for a wander right by the edge of the perimeter path. You can walk down through Barn Bottom and kind of do a circular thing, head over towards Earlstoke Wood, and then sort of come back on yourself and just explore that bit. I've often looked at it from the main road and from the byway, looked down and seen people wandering down there. But I did a walk and it was really pleasant because you get right down low into the bottoms and you see the different curves and shapes of the downs down there. And it's quite peaceful, very quiet.
Like you, I've often sort of looked at it from that perimeter road, from the byway up there, and it always looks very pretty. And I keep thinking, I must stop one day and have a walk down there. So how long was the walk that you did then?
Oh, it was only about 3 miles circuit. But it was very nice because you sort of walked down the bottom and then kind of followed a tree line back and ended up walking through this really nice little young woodland, really, that was full of saplings and new trees. And there was no people around. It was very empty. So it was quite a very peaceful place to walk, really.
Was that an evening walk or sort of daytime?
It was an evening walk,
because every time I've looked at it as I've gone past, there's always been quite a few dog walkers down there, which is partly why I sort of avoid it, not because they're walking dogs, but just there's people.
Yeah, we did see a couple of dog walkers in the distance, but no one following our route, really. The other thing is, I went up Martinsell Hill last weekend. Views up there are amazing at the moment. The landscape's full of rapeseed and very green because of the rain. But that wasn't anything to do with photography. I was actually doing a lesson on how to do Nordic walking. So I was steaming up the hill with these poles. That was done through there's a lady called Ashley Sandy who she actually listens to the podcast and she's in the Facebook group. She has a business. She does Nordic walking and trains people and does these organised walks. So I thought I'd go along and give it a go. It's quite a full body workout. It's better than going to the gym. I was quite impressed.
Yeah, I always sort of, it always makes me giggle when I see people doing it. It looks daft, but it's a good workout.
Yeah, you
though,
do feel
it?
A bit self-conscious, but you just have to put a head down, steam forward. I might give it a go. The other thing is, we gave a teaser about this a while ago, but about the Hidden Wiltshire Walks programme. That's all been released now, the information on that. So, we've partnered with Wiltshire Museum and come up with a series of Hidden Wiltshire Walks, which are kind of linked to some of the things we've done on the podcast. Some of the things are on the blog, on the website. But the idea is that we can sort of get out with a group of people and start to talk about these things in the field. And we'll have David Dawson from the museum coming along, who's an archaeologist, and he can give a bit more of a professional insight into that side of things that we can't. They should be quite good. And you can book the information's on the website, hiddenwiltshire.com. There's a post up there, and they're also all listed on the Wiltshire Museum website. So if you want to book a place, you can go on there and do that.
Anyway, so where are we going today?
So today we're going, here we go again into this realms of the traitorous. We're going to go into Hampshire just for a very brief moment before we come back into Wiltshire. Okay.
Right.
Right.
So this was, I think, based on a walk that I did. I think it was July last year. It seems longer ago than that. But
yeah, it was a while ago. And actually, I did it. Well, I didn't do all of it. I did a kind of half of it because I had to do a shorter route. But I met some friends from Hampshire recently, and we agreed to sort of meet halfway. And I said, well, why don't we meet there? Because it's still in Hampshire, and you know, it's south of Wiltshire, so it'll take us about the space, both about the same time to get there, and we'll just follow along. And in the back of my mind, I was also quite keen to try and find this Kit's Grave place, which people seem to have great difficulty finding.
Yeah. So if people want to sort of follow along with the map of the walk and the description, it's on the blog site, and it's called Searching for Kit's Grave. And then a sort of subtitle, which will become clear later on, in brackets, In Memory of Kay Chalk. It was the walk I did was about 9 miles for 14.5 kilometres. And I only went into Hampshire to park, which seems appropriate.
Yes.
So you go to, I parked up at the Martin Down Nature Reserve car park, which is in Hampshire. Because it's to the south of that, what's that road? Is it the
A354, yeah. Very busy road, actually.
It is, yeah, the Blandford Forum Road. And as I wrote in the blog, you really have to have your wits about you when you cross from Martin Down to the other side of the road, because people come past, whip past there very, very quickly. And I think when you come out of the car park, if I remember to the right, your view is not that distant. So something could sort of whip round the bend and be on you before you know it. So I don't feel too traitorous. I only went to Hampshire to park. You could also park somewhere like Bower Chalk, Broad Chalk, which are around halfway. You could also park sort of a bit further to the east, and there's a little turn off that goes from the A354 over to Broad Chalk. And there's a little parking space right on the edge of Verndich Chase, which is where really sort of I started my walk. So you know, I crossed from Martin Down car park, and within a couple of hundred metres I was into or onto Verndich Chase. Verndich Chase is an area of woodland. It's mixed woodland, which is, I think, it's owned by the Forestry Commission but managed by the Woodland Trust. And it's quite a big area of woodland. I think my notes said 230 hectares, which in old money is 568 acres.
Yeah, it's a big wood. It's a big wood. And the funny thing is, that first section of it that you walk, I've looked at the map, and the Hampshire border kind of goes into the bottom edge of it and skirts around it all the way up to Kit's Grave. It's like a triangle.
Yeah.
So you really are on the edge of the border. And when we get to Kit's Grave, we can explain a little bit more about how that also intersects with Dorset. But yeah, it's all, I mean, the wood, if you look at the maps, it used to be quite a lot smaller in recent times, but it's grown over the last few years. But it's obviously got some ancient history, because there's a Roman road going right along the bottom edge of it. There are a couple of long barrows in there.
Yeah.
And there's the peculiar named Grimm's Ditch, which goes right through the middle. So there's a lot going on there from an ancient history perspective.
The Roman road actually forms at that point along the southern edge of the wood of Verndich Chase. That forms the Hampshire-Wiltshire border. So the border sits right along the Roman road.
Yes.
And I can remember at the time when I did the walk, and you cross over the road, the Roman road, into the wood, and it sits on a dike, or technical name for it is an agger, and the Roman road is called Ackling Dyke. And it was only then it dawned on me that Roman roads actually sat on top of dikes, and I think we sort of found that when we did the walk around Ranscombe Bottom and up to around Furze Knoll, and that Roman road would have been raised. It would have been on a dike with sort of gutters either side, and you can still see a reasonable length of Ackling Dyke as you sort of cross over it into the wood. And as I say, that forms, to even today, it forms the county boundary. But as soon as you get into the woods, there is a barrow, not a very big barrow, but just on your right as you first get into the wood. And I couldn't really find anything out about that. I don't know whether that is, I mean, looking at it, I would hazard a guess that it's sort of Neolithic or Bronze Age. I wouldn't have thought it was any more recent than that.
Yeah, it just seemed to me to be, well, it's not in the same sort of place we find a lot of the Neolithic long barrows, which tend to be on hills and prominent. This is tucked away low on the ground in a wood now. I don't know what it would have been back then, but I don't know. I mean, for me, it hinted more Bronze Age than Neolithic, but that's just my intuition.
I was swapping messages the other day with David Abrams on the Instagram, who's a real source of knowledge on earthworks and barrows, and he's the guy who takes aerial views, drone shots of barrows. Seems to be mainly around southern England, but also elsewhere. And I was sort of swapping messages with him. We were talking about the barrow on Colkitchen Hill and the fact that it's not quite on the summit of the hill, and you know why it was sort of, you know, where it was as opposed to on the summit where it dominates the landscape from all around. Mm. And, you know, he's got this theory which makes an awful lot of sense, that you have to look at a barrow's sort of, you have to look at a map, you have to look at a map very carefully and imagine everything else, anything sort of recent stripped away, and just look at the map in its, in the topography and the shape of the landscape. And certainly the one on Colkitchen Hill, the barrow there, you know, may well have been located not because of its relationship with the Wylye Valley, because they didn't, you know, surprising enough, they didn't hold, you know, it, in terms of, you know, its importance, a barrow's importance as, a memorial to the dead and a place of burial. The river valleys, the water isn't that significant. It was more its relationship with other parts of the landscape, which is why the barrow on Colkitchen Hill is slightly off to the over the escarpment, and the best views of it are from the north. And you know, got me wondering about the one in Verndytch Chase as you first go in. Did that barrow have some sort of relationship? You know, because as you said, the wood is now much bigger than it used to be. Maybe it sat outside the wood. Maybe it had some sort of relationship. Yeah. Well, it must have had some sort of relationship with what was around it and the terrain around it. Of course, long before the Roman road, so nothing to do with the Roman road. So I've got no idea. I've no idea why it's there.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because that's the thing about some of these long barrows. They do sit below the summit. It's the same with the one on Tin Head.
Mm.
But so you can't see it on all sides,
yeah.
But on the sides you can see it. It's quite prominent. So it may be that it's pointing towards the settlements that were on that side.
Yeah.
So those people could see it.
That's it, yeah.
So, yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
who knows? But anyway, as you walk further up there through Verndytch Chase, you do reach that first sort of corner of the wood, which is referenced on the map as Kit's Grave.
Mm.
Which in the past was a point of a crossroads. Now, taking the grave to one side, that crossroads is actually historically a boundary point between Wiltshire, Hampshire and Dorset. So you could actually stand in that place and see the three different counties. So
it's county boundary and parish boundaries as well.
And parish boundaries, yeah. So it's kind of an intersection, almost like a liminal place where you've got these intersections. And while now it just looks like a quaint footpath through woods, back in the day it would have been an important crossroads with quite a lot of traffic. Maybe some significance to the local people.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I wrote the blog and I was sort of researching this about what Kit's Grave actually is. And I was refreshing my memory yesterday. And somebody put on the Facebook group that Kit's, just that word, and whether it's two T's or one T, doesn't really matter. But it seems to be used elsewhere. So whether it has some other meaning, I'm not sure. But as I said in the blog, I spent God knows how long, blundering around in that wood or in that area around that junction of different historic ways, trying to find Kit's grave. And I was on my sort of looking at my phone at the time, trying to sort of Google it, because I hadn't done any research before I did the walk, apart from plotting the route. And there are several theories as to who Kit actually was. So one theory is that it was a highwayman who was sort of hung, you know, captured and hung around that junction. Another theory was that Kit was an old gypsy woman who died in that area, and there was a dispute as to which parish would fund her burial. And they sort of argue amongst, you know, she's not ours, well, she's not ours either, and they, you know, buried her around that junction of the boundaries. Another theory is that it was a girl from Bowerchalk who threw herself into a well, and up until around the sort of 19th century, you know, suicide, I mean, probably until much later, suicide was illegal and was very much frowned upon. So suicides, the coroners would order that a suicide would be buried on a roadway as a mark of shame, and crossroads were a common place to do this. And quite often these burials were also associated with a prehistoric mound, which then sort of leads to the suggestion that actually Kit's grave is none of those things, but Kit's grave is actually a reference to the burial mound, which is in the wood itself, where I don't know if you were sort of blundering around in the same wood that I was, there are reports that people have found an almost imperceptible burial mound in that wood. So it's kind of in there somewhere. In terms of its age, I don't know how old it is.
Yeah, but it's, if you go back to some of the older maps, the older Ordnance Survey maps, Kit's grave is, there is a sort of mark on the map for where it actually is.
Mm.
But I don't, there's nothing you can see anymore. It's lost in undergrowth and time. And to my mind, all these different stories point to the fact that it's just become word of mouth and folklore over the years, and lost in the midst of time. It's just a mystery, but it's a fascinating thing. But obviously there's something going on about that. And I know when I was there, I made a point of sort of standing at the crossroads and taking one picture into Dorset, one photo into Wiltshire, and one photo into Hampshire, just as a memento, to be that I was stood in this very curious place. But of course, being hidden Wiltshire, we had then had to continue the walk down the Wiltshire route and steer away from those heathen places like Dorset.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and delightful it was. You know, I was pretty glad to have stayed in Wiltshire as I continued my walk. I mean, from Verndich Chase, you sort of, obviously, you move out of the woodland there. And I headed to a place called Marleycombe Hill, which again was just fascinating in itself. And some beautiful views up there as you climb up to the hill. And there was a lovely old barn, a sort of derelict barn, almost on the summit of the hill, certainly on the southern escarpment as you went up. And there's a sort of chalk track lead you up over the downs, or chalk and flint track. And you get this sort of flint barn sat on the top. And I spent a lot of time taking photographs up there. And I said to myself, I must come back when the weather's different, because it was an incredibly hot day when I went. It was a roasting hot day in July. There was very little cloud about, and you know, which lends itself to black and white photography. But I thought to come back when it's on a, you know, really stormy evening and driving rain, that would just be fabulous to get a shot of that barn in weather like that.
Yeah, it was fascinating. I mean, when I did this walk before I got to Marleycombe, I walked along the path after Kit's grave. I went through on the left. There was a little copse called Chettlehead Copse.
Oh yeah,
which is absolutely full of wild garlic and bluebells all mingled together. So sorry to drop bluebells in again.
Yeah, but, here we are again.
it was absolutely stunning.
So from the barn, you go over the summit of the hill, and then you start to descend and along this track, and the views open up over the Ebble Valley, and eventually you see below you the village of Bowerchalk, and the views there are fantastic. In fact, I took a panorama photograph where you sort of basically you take a shot, and I don't know why I normally start to my right and take a shot, and then you move the camera a little bit and then take another shot and then another shot, and you gradually move across, and then you have to use software to stitch them together, and you end up with one enormous file, but you then have to sort of reduce inside. But so the landscape in front of you, the views are so immense, I thought the only way I'm going to do justice to this is to shoot it as a panorama.
Yeah.
But and I remember down below me there was, you can sort of great view of the village, and there's a sports field or a cricket ground.
Yeah.
And even though it was still a long way away, because it was such a hot, still day, there was a bunch of kids in there playing cricket, and they were being taught cricket because there was the schoolmaster. So I guess it must have been still during school time. And you could hear them. You could hear them talking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's way up on the hill.
It was amazing. I know when I was there, first of all, the landscape around there looked beautiful. I mean, the fields, there was a patchwork quilt of rapeseed as well. So there was a lovely dots of yellow around.
Yeah.
And yeah, in my photos, I caught the cricket ground. And then I put them on Twitter and got pinged by the history chap, Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently he'd been playing cricket the day before down on that pitch.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, it was like a fantastic picture of the cricket pitch where I scored whatever he scored.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a cricket buff. But that's the funny thing. In this valley, there seems to be a massive connection to historians and history, because you've got the Chalk Valley History Festival.
Which takes place. That's at Broadchalk, which I came across later on in the walk.
Yeah, because I mean that's they're actually putting that together. I think it's end of June this year.
Yeah, because normally it's July, I think.
Yeah.
But Bowerchalk is interesting. Again, it was mentioned in the Doomsday survey, but I read somewhere it's Wiltshire's most haunted village.
Really?
Which I'm not quite sure why. I couldn't find anything more about that. But it was again, it's, you know, had some fairly famous inhabitants over the years. I mean, William Golding, the author of Lord of the Flies, is buried in the church there, and
right.
The World War One poet Siegfried Sassoon also lived in Bowerchalk. From that track over Marneycombe Hill, there's basically a couple of options. Oh, I tell you who else lives up to Bowerchalk, is my optician. So there you go.
Yeah,
it's
far more important.
Because he'd read my blog, and the last time I was having my eyes tested, before these things weren't allowed, we spent more time talking about the Marneycombe Hill and the area than we do about my eyes.
Well, it's a lovely backdrop, isn't it, to the village, Marneycombe. It's a fantastic viewpoint.
But there are two sort of options, route options. There's one that just goes straight over the hill and drops down into the village itself, as you come over the crest, you can sort of hang a right, and there's loads of earthworks off to your right.
Along
the sort of the contour line. And I did that, and I went and sort of sat on the earthworks watching the cricket below me. But I hadn't really, because I hadn't done any research before the walk, I didn't realise there's around 11 burial mounds on that on Marneycombe Hill, dating back to the Bronze Age. And there's been lots of sort of evidence of beaker settlements up there, and, you know, the beaker pottery in that area. So again, it's a place to go back to on a warm, sunny day, and look the other way instead of looking down to Bowerchalk. Actually, look around you on the hills there. But so from there, you know, there's all sorts of options to descend. Basically, you want to get down into Bowerchalk and into the river valley, the Ebble Valley, and sort of make your way to Bowerchalk, and then from there, on to actually, I'm just thinking, did I go to Bowerchalk? Yes, I did. Yeah. So from Bowerchalk, and I was at the would have been the eastern end of the village, and I sort of ended up around Knoll Farm and Bowerchalk Barn. Bowerchalk Barn is one of these very smart sort of barn conversions. I think a thatched barn, beautiful, great barn. It's a sort of a wedding venue, and that's where I sort of ended up. And from there, you sort of, again, take a look at the blog and the map. But I wanted to get to I think it was a byway or a road that was sort of south of the of Bowerchalk Barn and Knoll Farm, which headed off east in the direction of Broadchalk. And that was a lovely walk as well, gradually sort of climbing up this lane. And on the blog, there's a photograph as I was near the top of the lane, looking back down into Bowerchalk in the sort of the middle distance, and then up over to Marleycombe Hill in the far distance. So the views up there were just stunning. But again, you know, you sort of, as I say, you're heading over towards Broadchalk, which again is I didn't really go into the village. I did sort of skirt along a lane along the edge of the village. So I was thinking, well, I really want to go and have a look at the church, but this is a long walk and I haven't really got the time today.
Yeah.
So I didn't go into the village itself. And that's, again, I'm told warrants a visit.
Yeah, there are quite a lot of there's quite a lot of water there, isn't there? A lot of springs and I think there's some watercress fields as well at some point.
That's right. It's a big watercress farming area, and some famous inhabitants.
Yes.
So Cecil Beaton, the photographer and sort of theatre set designer, he lived there, or he's buried there. Of course, Terry Pratchett lived there.
Yeah.
Toya Wilcox and Robert Fripp used to live there in the, I think it was you know, the manor house or whatever it is, until they
moved. They used to live, I think they used to live next door to Tom Holland's parents.
Oh, did they?
Apparently, Tom was saying, I think he said on Twitter, that his parents never knew how to address the Christmas cards because they didn't know Toya. They just knew Toya as Toya, I think.
That's
like
right,
that.
Yeah, and it's not Mrs. Fripp.
Mr. and Mrs. Fripp.
Yes. But those two are mad as bucket of frogs. They really are. They got a fantastic YouTube channel.
I know. I watch their occasionally watch their Sunday lunch things. It's,
that's it. Yeah.
Bonkers. It's totally bonkers.
Yeah. It's a bit saucy, but
yeah, it's getting worse.
Absolutely mad. But yeah, that's a village to go back to. I think I'd love to sort of root around there on another day. But basically, where I was heading was for Church Bottom, and back to our favourite subject. In fact, funny enough, when I was walking with our friends on the South Downs last week, we were talking about bottoms then, and I said, "Is this just a sort of a Wiltshire term?" They said, "Oh, because they live in Sussex," and they said, "No, it's definitely we have bottoms too, so we can't claim bottoms to ourselves."
Well, I was accused on Twitter yesterday by one of our listeners, who's also in the Facebook group, Mr. Mark Butcher. I was accused of being obsessed with bottoms.
So, oh dear. That makes two of us then.
Yeah, yeah.
So we haven't done anything to dispel that myth today,
no,
have we?
No, not at all.
Well, I was heading to Church Bottom, as I said, and I have to say, you've got to go a long way to see a better bottom. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And you've got, a very well-surfaced, easily walkable track that goes the length of the bottom. And part way up, there is the site of the Chalk Valley History Festival.
Mm.
And bear in mind, last year when I did it, the festival was cancelled. I sort of looked across from the track to my right, and there was a few sort of marquees up and some cars and sort of what looked to be a barbecue going on over there. So there was a few people out there, but obviously not the full blown festival.
Yeah.
As I said, that was cancelled. So
I think it's
sure
the festival is going ahead this year, because I've seen the programme, and it's end of June Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think.
Right.
Last weekend in June, and I think it's organised. I think James Holland is an organiser of it. But they've put together quite a full programme.
No, I'd love to go there. I've been meaning to go for years. And
same here. I've never been.
Never got round to it.
Yeah.
I do wonder about access. How on earth do they get in? Because this track is, you know, it's about wide enough for one car, and I'm not sure whether it's a, I can't remember if it's a byway or a bridleway. Because if you follow the track all the way to the end, I mean, it gradually sort of climbs and it joins the Oxdrove, which you actually, I didn't mention it, but you put from Verndich Chase to Marleycombe Hill. You do cross the Oxdrove, or you go along it for not very far, just a few tens of metres. But, you know, the Oxdrove, which is a really ancient trackway through our part of the world. Yeah, so I sort of headed on past the site of the history festival, and again on a hot day it was ideal because it was in the shade. And part way up I came to what is the second part of the title, is this a memorial to Kay Chalk, and I just found it very touching, and I was pretty hot and tired by this point. And it's just a very simple little wooden bench right next to the track, and it just says, you know, K Chalk 1929 to 2019. So she was 90 when she died, and it was just a great place to sort of stop and, you know, have a coffee. And I was looking out across the bottom, and the views at that end of it are just beautiful, with sort of little copses of trees, and it was just, there was nobody there, it was just so peaceful. But it sort of got me thinking about, you know, my mum, who was the same age, and I think there were little sort of tokens that were left in memory of Kay Chalk, just dotted around, and she was clearly a great grandmother, and there was sort of little gifts there, little memorials to her. And, you know, it's my, as I say, my mum was the same age as Kay, although she was a lot younger when she died, and I'm getting emotional now thinking about it, but it was quite emotional at the time. So I spent quite a long time just sitting there, you know, with my thoughts, and lovely spot. I often wonder whether her ashes are spread there, because what a place to spend eternity.
Well, lovely tribute though to a long life lived, really.
Absolutely, yeah. So sort of continuing along the track, you know, initially I was heading all the way up the track to go to Oxdrove, but not far after Kay's memorial, her bench, there's a gate on your right. And it takes you into a nature reserve, and I love nature reserves. Fantastic! And this will save me sort of tramping along the track. And it's actually Middleton Down Nature Reserve, and it's a Wiltshire Wildlife Trust reserve, and it's quite a small one. It's only sort of 25 hectares, and I mean, you're sort of free to roam, but it's, again, sort of, it's tucked in the valley bottom, in the bottom of the bottom.
Yes.
So the climb out of it, heading south and also to the west, you know, to your right, so a pretty steep. And I think there was a warning there of like, beware of the bull, that sort of sign. And there is a little information panel, which, of course, our chum Steve Dixon is redesigning and replacing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Middleton Down in the past few years ago now, actually, as one of my sort of Wiltshire wanderings. At one point, I was going around just trying to visit as many Wiltshire Wildlife Trust places as possible, just to find, because often they are little hidden gems and they're tiny little slivers of land. And Middleton Down was a gorgeous place. It was
Actually, if you look on the information board that's there at the moment, I've mentioned this chap before, but there's a guy called Stephen Davies, who used to work for the Wiltshire Wildlife Trust. I think he was based in Devizes, and he's a super photographer and a really passionate conservationist. Mm. And so some of his photographs are actually on the information board right. there, and some lovely photographs. And you know, Stephen's on Instagram as well. I might put a link into him if I haven't done it before in the show notes. So well worth looking at Stephen's work. He does a lot in Savernake Forest, actually. He takes a lot of sort of woodland photographs. Yeah. So again, through the reserve, I just sort of made my way, sort of starting off in parallel with the track up to Oxdrove. But you sort of you track alongside it and along the valley bottom, and then I sort of slowly sort of made my way, sort of diverged from the track and up through the reserve, sort of climbing up and to my right. And there's some gates, pedestrian gates, which you can go through, and so you just sort of aim from one gate to the next and sort of track your way through. And I was thinking, you know, where's all these cows? And more importantly, where's the bull? And I sort of came round a bend near the top, and there they were, you know, around the top of the reserve. And it was they got a herd of Dexter cattle up there, and very very placid. And they just sort of gave me a sort of contemptuous glance and
Dexters are just harmless.
Yeah, they were lovely. And I mean, obviously, you don't want to get between a cow and its calf, but. Yeah, I just sort of skirted them around to the sort of left of this small herd, and they barely glanced at me. But at some point, you've got to sort of climb your way out of the reserve, and it is sort of the head of the bottom. It's quite steep, and right at sort of the top right hand corner, I could sort of see another pedestrian gate. So I sort of so this would have been the southwest corner of the reserve, and I sort of headed up to this gate and out of the reserve, which took me on a short length of footpath, which then connected the reserve to the Oxdrove.
Yeah.
So it just brings you out on Oxdrove to the west of where you would come out if you just tracked the main route along the bottom. I mean, intuitively, you want to sort of, you think, well, I've got to turn right at this footpath onto the Oxdrove, but I actually sort of went left for a couple of hundred metres because I wanted to get across to some woodland. And basically, what I wanted to do was head across to Ackling Dyke, to the Roman Road.
Yeah.
So I was trying to make my way across to there, and I ended up, having turned left from the footpath onto the Oxdrove, heading east for a little way, a couple of hundred metres, I then turned off it and headed south along the edge of a huge field of arable. Can't remember what they were growing at the time. I think it was wheat. And you kind of skirt the edge and you go down one side and then you turn head right along the edge of, I think it's Knighton Wood. And I was trying to sort of... It's basically run along the edge of Knighton Wood down to the Roman Road. Mm. And there was a couple of other woodlands. They're all kind of connected, and one was called Reddish Gore, and the other one was called Moody's Gore. And it was only yesterday that I established what gore actually meant, because it all sounded a bit gory to me. What on earth is going on here? What's this gore all about? But a gore is just a small piece of land, usually triangular, and certainly Moody's Gore, it was a triangular bit of land. But the footpath, we're back to our favourite subject of blocked footpaths. There was a footpath around the western edge of Moody's Gore, which would have taken me down to the Roman Road at Ackling Dyke. But it had been blocked off and fenced off, and there was a field there with a yurt in it, which I posted a photograph of in the blog. Sat in the middle of this field, and there were some horses there. So, you know, I got my stroppy head on about that and thinking, you know, how on earth do I get round this? So I had to find a another way, and I sort of continued to head west. And it was lovely. I mean, the way I went was very nice. But again, it would have been nice to sort of just stick to woodland until I joined Ackling Dyke. But eventually I sort of spilled out on the little minor road that goes from the A354 over to Broadchalk that I mentioned earlier on.
Yeah.
And if you sort of look on the map, you'll see that. And I sort of came out on that little minor road. And you cross the road, and there's a small car park, which would be another place to park your car if you didn't want to cross that main road from Martin Down. You could park at that end of because you're back in Verndich Chase then. You come to Verndich Chase. So you could park there. And that's where my walk went wrong, because I think I was just tired and hot, and my phone battery had gone. So I'd been following along on a paper map, but wasn't paying too much attention, and realised I wasn't really sure whereabouts I was. And I ended up blundering around Verndich Chase again until I realised I was back near Kit's grave. So I'd gone completely wrong. So I spent another half hour blundering around looking for Kit's grave and didn't find it. But what I should have done from that little car park, as you cross this little minor road that I described, with your back to the road, off to your left there's a little, it's nothing more than a small opening in the trees, and you go through this opening, and that takes you onto the Roman Road, onto Ackling Dyke. So, and it runs all the way along Verndich Chase, right on the very edge. And I went back another time and had a look, and I don't know how I missed it really, but it's absolutely plumb straight through the edge of this wood, and yeah. It takes you for maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a mile back to where I came into Verndich yeah. Chase, and to the, you know, to take me back to the car park at Martin Down. So I don't know how I missed it. In fact, I think I said in the blog I did drive back there later on after the walk, and I've came across a guy who was running along it. He was just doing a run there, and I said, does that path you've just followed, does that take you back to Martin Down? He said, yeah. He said, this is the Roman Road. So no idea how I missed it, but I put it down to a fried brain from the heat.
That's your excuse.
Yeah, that or old age.
yeah.
But I love the walk. It was just absolutely stunning. And I thought maybe it was after, I lose track of lockdowns, but I think it was after a period of being sort of locked down. It was almost my first sort of, you know, trip out. And it was just, it couldn't have been a better day, really. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, and although it's a long walk, as you describe it, I shortened it when I did it. We kind of stayed up on Marleycombe, and instead of going down into Boa Chalk and heading over to Broadchalk, we cut back down towards Oxdrove.
Yeah.
Where you could have an option then to go along Oxdrove to take in Middleton Down and then come back the way you came.
Yeah.
Or just come back through Verndich Chase. But there's the great thing about these walks is you can split them into sections. You don't have to do the full 9 miles. You can do bits and pieces, and you could come here two or three times and do different routes every time. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's the wonderful thing about Wiltshire and a lot of other counties as well. Sussex is the same. I mean, so many route options and footpaths and rights of way that you could, you know, it's very easy to sort of piece together a route and have, as you say, have options to shorten them or lengthen them if you so choose. But go and do it. And if anybody can find Kit's grave, then they're a better man or woman than we are. Yes,
let us know,
because we failed.
Okay. So I guess that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. So what are we going to talk about in 2 weeks' time, do you think, Paul?
Well, I think we're going to go to Fifield Down, go a little bit further north.
Yes.
We've done quite a few of the south of the county, so to head sort of further up. And there's another place of some weird and wonderful finds.
Yes, which aren't always known about, but we'll share some of those, the kind of things that we found, because that area is well known for its fields, enormous fields of sarsen stones, and things like the dolmen of Devil's Den, which has its mysterious origins,
and other things that we will surprise you with in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, so let's wrap up this week's podcast with the usual things. Just got one plug from me. Thanks to those of you who found the Hidden Wiltshire shop. If you go to hiddenwiltshire.com, there's a link there to the shop where you can... there's a range of things you can buy to help us keep the electricity meter on. But yeah, have a look. See what you like.
And Lower Boots Shoes offer still going. lowerlowa.co.uk. Stick in the offer code HW20 for Hidden Wiltshire 20 and get 20% discount. Show notes and stuff, links on the website, on the blog site, so go have a look at that. And finally, thanks as always to Steve Dixon for the music. The bit in the middle of the show was a piece called Canopy, which seemed appropriate for the title was appropriate, I think, for Verndich Chase and the canopy of trees, and listening to it, it's a joyful little piece, I think, and just made me think of the downland and the great open views. So thanks for that, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And we will be back in 2 weeks. Until then, goodbye.
Ta-da.